Hello, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. It's David Eagle from The Young'uns. This is The Young'uns Podcast. It's the 12 podcasts of Christmas. And I am recording this, not that it really matters, from Hartlepool. You may remember this is the, for any acoustic experts, I know there are a few people who can tell these things. I am, of course, recording it from my bedroom, my old bedroom in Hartlepool, where I used to live when I lived in Hartlepool with my parents. And yes, you are right. We have got a new bed. That's it. Yeah. Well observed. Anyway, so last year, if you remember, we did Out With The Old, where we looked back on the podcasts 1 to 100 between 2006 and 2008, and the idea being that we revisited some of the best bits because we were purging the rest of the podcasts from the internet. Well, we're not going to purge these podcasts from the internet, but what I thought it might be nice to do is to look back at podcasts past from 2009 to 2014. I think there's about 36 podcasts there. Do a few clips for each podcast and kind of intersperse them over 12 podcasts, kind of like the 12 days of Christmas, only the 12 podcasts of Christmas. Now, the pedants among you may be a little bit on edge here, a little bit, oh, I just can't let this pass. David, you released the first podcast on Christmas Eve. That is not the first day of Christmas, technically. Well, you're quite right to think that, and I do apologise if I've got you all hot under the collar there. But also, we're not going to be going on until January the 5th either, which technically would be the 12th day of Christmas. The reason for that being, I think people are kind of tired of Christmas, people are back at work. The concept of Christmas is kind of over for those people. So what we're going to do is we're going to release some of those days. We're going to release two podcasts. It doesn't really matter. You can just visit them at your own convenience, basically. I don't know why I'm explaining this to you. You don't really need to know the technicalities. Basically, over the next few days, we're going to release 12 podcasts with clips from podcasts old between 2009 and 2014. And that's all you need to know, really. All right, thank you very much. So what have we got today, then? On the first podcast of Christmas, the young'uns give to you the sound of my stomach, some poetry and a story from some children, and welcome to the Young'uns Dutch Language School, plus some music from Shilanigig. I will be trying to sing every introduction, by the way. I think that was perfectly done there. And I think people in the future, because we sing the 12 days of Christmas, they'll say, why don't we do the 12 podcasts of Christmas? Oh, yes, a much better idea. This first clip is taken from our trip to Holland, where we did a maritime festival in Holland in 2009. And we thought, because we're in Holland, it seems right to try and get to grips with the Dutch language. And so, notepads and pens at the ready here. This is quite a comprehensive Dutch language course now. And I think the young'uns should really start doing language courses. And I'm sure when you listen to this, you will agree.
What else are we going to try and do? We're going to try and, last time I do realise I didn't really talk to any of the natives. You know, I was a bit shy. Also, the other thing I didn't do was I didn't find out any of the lingo. I don't know what the Dutch for lingo is. So, let's start with something to go on. So, do you mind me just asking what the Dutch for train is?
Train.
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 Is it just train?
Oh, in Dutch.
Yes,
train.
Yeah.
Train.
Oh, train. All right. That, again, an anticlimax, really. I thought you'd be more original than that, stealing our words. Stealing. From the Latin, the ancient Latin, trainus, of course. Mike's just been speaking to some French people, and the strange thing about when you hardly know a language is you start saying certain words in that language. So he just went to them, oh yeah, because they were on next, the group Le Bolin, who are a brilliant French group. And Mike goes, oh yeah, it's really good, Trebian, yeah, really good. It's really great, you got, in the church you say, you got great, a bit of a pause, acoustique, yeah, great acoustique. And like, for God's sake, they're more likely to understand acoustics in English than all the preamble that went before. So following on from yesterday's education, you probably thought, well, David, can you not give us a break? We had too much education yesterday. Well, following on from our Dutch language course, yesterday we learned that the Dutch for train is train. Today I can tell you it's a little bit more complex, so listen up. It's not quite the same. The Dutch for soup is soup. Ah, you thought I was going to say soup there, but no, soup. So have a little practice and come back. Now you see, now you're thinking, what? This is great, David, because now I can say, if somebody rings me, my Dutch friend rings me and says, what are you doing? If I happen to be eating soup on a train, I can now say, I am eating soup on a train. They won't necessarily know what you're doing with the soup in the train. You're sitting in soup and eating a train. Could get very confusing for the Dutch. Yeah, so it's kind of the equivalent of this language thing. thing of when we were in French and German, and we got taught that the French and the German people have different ways of saying ow. So if you hurt yourself, you go ow. They'll go, the Germans, for instance, go ow, ow. But I don't know why we got told this, but this is like an important lesson. We spent an hour learning the different ways in which people express pain. Maybe just in case we ever wanted to punch a German, and they went ow, and we're like, no, you've done that wrong, my friend. You've done that. It's ow. So you would know that there was.
You got the best possible education there.
Oh, I got the best thing I did. Exactly. I think it was just we had a very violent language teacher. I think that's all it was, really.
It was quite a strange teacher, really. I'm not sure what the purpose of learning how various people from different nationalities express pain. it might come in useful. I don't know if anyone's working for the CIA, maybe, went to our school. Anyway, a little bit of satire for you there, ladies and gentlemen. The education continues very shortly. We head into a primary school and we hear a poem and a story all about a legend from Old Hartlepool. But before that, it's time to get intimate with the young'uns. It's time to delve inside the young'uns, or at least two of the young'uns anyway.
Me.
You might have had a bit too much to eat, Michael. During that song, did anyone hear Michael's? No one hear Michael's stomach rumbling? Because I was not going to hear. And we had this. We're trying to keep you in key. Well, I remember we were recording the album, which we were recording the last album, Man of Fair Keeping. We were recording it, and we had to literally abandon a day's worth of recordings because all you could hear during the bits, the quiet bits, was just my stomach going. And that's so we had to abandon it. But I was thinking about it, my man.
You put some lovely reverb on it, though.
No, especially in the subwoofers. Unless it crank up the subwoofer. Oh,
I'd love to do this.
Anyway, especially what? The subwoofer.
I don't think anybody has thought of a subwoofer.
As you say, he says subwoofer. Maybe they understand it when they say subwoofer.
Do you know a subwoofer?
Subwoofer, you know, like
that idea of sandwich from that.
Oh. Right, Michael. I've been hearing your stomach rumble, Michael.
It's been going absolutely bananas,
right.
David.
Yes, so what you need to do right now is give it a little sort of shake.
Yes.
Now, lie on the floor. Right, and this is Michael Hughes' stomach rumbling. I'll get the recorder
there, Davis.
On the stomach. Let's see what we... And I'll turn it on to four. This is going to look very odd. This must look very odd. Actually, I don't even know. What is it? He's not doing anything.
Starving, Bruce.
That's very disappointing. I can't hear anything. Hang on, wait. Oh, how much hair? You've got a lot of hair on your stomach, Michael. Shh, would you be quiet? This is the sound of Michael Hughes' stomach. He's not doing anything at all. I am really disappointed. Michael's stomach has failed us. And I'm going to have to wash my microphone now. I'm going to have to sterilise the microphone today. Will you be...
There's so many foxes now.
They see me.
Dr. Regal.
Michael's lying on the floor. I've got my microphone to his stomach and I'm feeling the hair on his belly button to try and get the best position. And we can't hear anything. As Mike clambers up from the floor, he's a new man. He's never had an experience like that before. Anyway, I think the stomach rumbling thing could be a feature. Obviously, so far, Michael Hughes' stomach has been showcased. We haven't got Sean Cooney yet. We're about to hear my stomach in action, ladies and gentlemen. And we're about to hear it right now. And I'm thinking this could be the start of a new feature where we sample the stomachs of all the folk singers that we meet. And we can compare. We can get like a graph almost made on the website about who has the loudest stomachs. We could have we could have the decibel readings, because you can put the wave, the sound wave, into into one of those things that draws the wave out. So you can actually see how the wave looks on the sound, what the decibels like, what the spectrum is, all the curves and things like that. That would be brilliant. So you could have like a special graph there where it has all the different folk waves. No, it's not really. I shouldn't have really shouted it like a question. Folk waves? Then I realised that was rubbish. That's the show on radio. That was the show that used to be on Radio Derby. That actually, maybe some people tuning into the Young'uns podcast, having heard that it's a podcast about folk music, thinking, you know, this may be a replacement for folk waves with Lester Simpson and Mick Pete on Radio Derby. I really miss that show and the comprehensive list of folk music that they give us. Oh, but maybe the Young'uns podcast will be able to offer us something, and they're listening to it with their head in their hands going, well, I've got some recordings of my stomach rumbling, and we'll put it on the internet with a spectral analysis of the sound of the stomach, and then people can guess whose stomach it is. We'll play a sample of their stomach rumbling, and people can guess who the stomach is. Well, thank you very much for playing along, but unfortunately nobody got the competition right this week. This week's stomach rumble was provided courtesy of John Borden from Bellowhead. Or maybe we could call the feature Bellyhead. We might call it Bellyheads. I don't know why I'm thinking about this, because we're not really going to make a feature out of this. I can't imagine any folk singers who would... Can we have an interview with you for the Young'uns podcast? And then, oh yeah, that's absolutely fine. You wouldn't mind if I just put my microphone to your stomach, would you? And we record the sound of your stomach rumbling. But we'll call it Bellyheads anyway. I hope we are going to make a long-term feature out of it, though, because I've made a little jingle. So we'll play the jingle, and then we'll go in and we'll have a little recording of... We'll have a little the sample of my stomach rumbling. So here's the jingle that I've made for this brilliant feature.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Let's get ready, ready, let's get ready, ready, let's get ready to rumble! Jolly rumble-o!
Excellent. And it's even got a little folky bit in there. Alan Tor, Jolly Rumble-O. Very clever, you know, how I put the folk music. You know, even when I've got a feature that people may think, what's this got to do with folk? Well, obviously, it's got everything to do with folk. We're recording the stomach rumbles of folk singers, for goodness sake. What do you mean, what's it got to do with folk? Let's stop talking, David, and for goodness sake, and play the sound of your stomach. I know. Well, I should really, because this is what everyone's waiting for right now. We're about to hear the sound of my stomach. Oh, here we go. Anyway, that was our feature. Should we play the jingle again? to make it a bit more of a neater kind of item, wouldn't it, really? So here's the jingle again on our new feature, Bellyhead.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Let's get ready, ready, let's get ready, ready, let's get ready to rumble! Jolly rumble-o!
There we are. Lovely. Right.
I think another good name for the feature could be To Me, To You. Tommy, To You, I think would be quite a good name. So we really need to do this feature. I mean, I've got two or three names for the feature. I mean, all we need now is for folk singers to agree to have their stomachs mic'd up. And I think we could be in. Don't know what you think, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe if you get someone could like set up a petition online, maybe. We could present it to the various folk singers. Maybe present it to the various folk festivals. We could maybe open up a special stage or something like that. Maybe I could set myself up as a sort of a Dr. Gillian McKeith type person, saying that I can tell how your diet is by the sound of your stomach. Maybe we could get a dietitian on. Maybe we could bring it back into sort of the educational realm. I don't see any reason why. We could get James Fagan. James was a doctor. There we are, from bollocks to bellies. My goodness, he's been promoted. He's gone up in the world, literally. From bollocks to bellies. I mean, that is going up, isn't it? So, should be having time off, shouldn't I? over Christmas, but I'm not. I'm just on top. I'm on such great form. Anyway, so we often go into primary schools and we teach the often local history of the area that we go into, and then the children write songs and stories and poetry, and we do drama about those events that we've learnt about. And in 2009, Sean and I were involved in a big project in Hartlepool, where we taught the history of Old Hartlepool, various stories, myths and legends. And also we went into old people's homes and we talked to some of the residents there about what Hartlepool used to be like. That's what the primary school children would ask questions about, what Hartlepool used to be like. And it was a great intergenerational project that we did. And then from that, the children created poems and stories and songs and drama all about the things that they'd learnt. And so what we're going to hear right now is we're going to hear some children doing a poem and a story about the Old Hartlepool legend of the moving church. And here to explain that story is one of Hartlepool's older residents, hope he doesn't mind me saying that, Alan Craggs. And he'll set the scene, and then we shall hear a poem and a story created by the children all about this event.
They decided the church could be done with being a little bit further down the hill. It was in the wrong place, the church. So the vicar thought so. He asked his parishioners if they'd push the church further down the hill. And what they did is they put the courts at one side, all went to the other side and started to push the church. And when they went back after a few hours, there was no courts. So they all surmised that the courts were underneath the church and the church had moved.
Once upon a time in Hartlepool, where the northern winds they blew so cruel, there came a new vicar and no one was slicker, for he was nobody's fool. One morning when the wind gave a chill, the crofters had some time to kill, when they overheard the vicar say, "Ooh, it would be better if the church had been built down the hill." So they set about trying to move the church to get the nice vicar out the lurch. They put their backs into it, saying, "I reckon we can do it." But of course they couldn't move the church. But then came a local scally then, decided to play a trick on the men. While they looked the other way, she stole their coats away and hid them in a secret den. The crofters were so full of grief, but they couldn't think of it being a feast. One of them did say, "Maybe it moved the other way, and maybe now the courts are underneath." So for the rest of the long summer's day, the crofters tried to push the church the other way. They pushed for so long that their armpits did pong, and their ghosts are still pushing it today. Oh, they huffed and they puffed and they guffed, and they guffed and they puffed and they huffed. But with all the huffing and the puffing and the guffing and the buffing, they didn't huff or puff or guff enough.
Next we have Caleb from St John Devaney's School. It is called The Crofter's Revenge. This is how they took their revenge against the thieves who stole the courts. I still think they're underneath St Hilda's, but we're not going to knock St Hilda's down, sorry.
Well, you're about to find out now that that's not true, Alan, because Caleb, he tells us what really happens.
Right. Hello, my name's Caleb. I'm from St. John Vianney's. The crofters found that Charlie and Ben had stolen their coats. They decided to seek revenge. Late one evening, while the stars shone bright, Sean the Prawn and Billy Bob Bass decided to get their coats back. They crept silently along the freezing dark streets. The clock of St. Hilda's Church struck midnight. A black mist rolled in across Hartlepool Bay. Suddenly, there was a clap of thunder. Lightning streaked across the dark night sky, illuminating the house of Ben. The yard gate opened with a creak. They held their breath, but not another sound was made. Billy Bob Bass saw their coats on the washing line. Quick as a flash, he grabbed them and stuffed them into his bag. Glancing round, they spied Charlie's Wellington boots. Aha, just what they had been looking for. Sean opened a bag he had been carefully carrying all night.
"Phew, what a stink!"
The rancid smell of fish guts rose into the air. Both men were almost sick. They tipped their slimy load into the waiting Wellingtons, and with a silent chuckle, they silently slipped away into the dark streets towards their next victim.
Excellent. Their next victim, Caleb says. Suggests that there's more to that story. Suggests that there will be a sequel. Well, I hope my production on that story with the sound effects and things passed muster, because it would be an honour, Caleb, to produce your next epic.
That was the first podcast of Christmas. The second podcast of Christmas will be here on Christmas Day, where we discuss, are the young'uns gay? But we shall conclude this first podcast with some music recorded by world folk group Shillanigig from the Hartlepool Tall Ships Festival in 2010. If you're listening to this on the Christmas Eve, have a very Merry Christmas. We'll be back tomorrow for the second podcast of Christmas. Goodbye!